Well, again, it's the traditional Mother's Day, so I have been pressured into by society to speak a topical message. I think last year we did Proverbs 31, most mothers just love, the perfect mother that they all should be striving to meet the mark of the godly woman of Proverbs 31. I do believe it's the ideal. I don't necessarily believe that that was a real woman being described there. But it is a high calling. One, I'm sure most honest, godly women realize they don't meet it. And that standard is always there. It shouldn't be a discouragement. It should be an encouragement in that we have a biblical model by which to draw from to have some clarity as to what our role is and how we are to do this thing called motherhood. Being a mom is a great privilege, and there are those different types of moms in our congregation today. There are the moms of their own biological children. What an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. But not all have that privilege. We have those who are singles in our presence, who become adopting someone to influence, girls to influence, young ladies to influence, in the role of motherhood. We have those who are married but unable to have children. Imagine that's a Mother's Day that for them is twofold. It's a time, yes, to honor and celebrate, but also maybe a time for a season to mourn. In fact, the Lord didn't open their womb. So motherhood, I believe, goes beyond just the physical privilege of having your own children to raise. I think that the Christian family can take all of our ladies, and there's plenty of room and opportunity for all of our ladies to function in the realm of mothering, which we want to look at. What is that idea of functioning in the realm of mothering? Well, I find that the greatest characteristic in functioning in the realm of mothering is to assist in the role of educating, nurturing, instructing children. Now, that's also father's responsibility, and primarily father's responsibility, but it is a mother's responsibility also to be actively involved in discipling, educating, disciplining the children of our family. And our family being your immediate biological family, but also our church family. You are to be involved. Elders are to be teaching the women, are to be teaching the younger women. And that instructive principle is very important for mothers to keep in mind, because when you get off into thinking that your decisions are not impacting anyone else, that you have the freedom to make those decisions, then you have separated yourself from the biblical truth. The biblical truth is that all of our decisions should be governed by the desire to instruct and lead others into a deeper relationship with their Savior. Well, the first thing, then, is that relationship has to be in your own hearts. So if you're not a born-again believer here as a lady, you cannot fulfill your biblical role. You first have to be trusting in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, so that you can have the Holy Spirit's wisdom and power to pass on that wisdom and instruction to the children. We have some very clear instruction here. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." This idea of not forsaking the law of thy mother implies that there is a law communicated, that the children are given instruction. As I watch society today, mothers are really moving towards these little children have their own little minds, and we're not going to influence those little minds. We're just going to let them go and make sure we protect them from hurting themselves. But they're going to come up to their own conclusions. They're going to learn their own lessons. All I got to do is make sure I'm protecting them from danger so they can grow up, live long enough to figure out who they are and figure out what they believe. This freedom of choice worship to the point that we don't give instruction. There's also a Christian movement out there. When I say Christian, it is not a biblical movement, but they claim the name Christian in Christian parenting that is protesting the disciplining of children. One simple Google and you're going to find article after article of these parents and self-described experts on how that training our children, we are wrong to use corporal punishment. And so there's this big movement and pressure on our young moms, by the way, to find alternatives from hitting. And that's exactly how they will couch it. Okay? You can't hit your children. That's not loving. That's not biblical. That's not the way to bring up your children. And as I've watched and read and observed that, I'm going to spend some time defining instruction. The instruction of the Lord is not something we get to play with. It's not something we get our own personal interpretation and then we go and communicate it to our children. One of the aspects of being identified with a local church is that you learn the skill of interpretation. A biblical church is going to teach you how to interpret Scripture. A biblical church is going to exalt the Word of God so that you know what it says, so that you can go out and accurately apply its principles to your job, which is mothering. By definition, mothering is not just feeding the children. It's instructing. Mothering is the co-laboring with the husband. And for those who have done it right, they have the husband and that they're able to work along with. Those that have decided to shack up and have a child out of wedlock and don't have the privilege of trying to make a marriage work together, they're working at a deficit. Some are working at a deficit because of their own simple choices. Some are working at a deficit not because of their choices at all. I'm not trying to deal with where the blame is to be placed. But the fact is that the design of God was that it would be a what? A team. Within that realm of the fatherless, God gives grace to come alongside you mothers. And many of you mothers have had to raise children. And you had the primary and the sole responsibility to teach the children. God's design was that it would be a team led by the father. But God's grace is with the mothers who have that responsibility, who do not have the privilege to do it with their husbands. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "When I call to repentance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." One of the things to determine whether you are being a biblical mother or not is to look at the generations. Are you taking the biblical truths that were handed down to you and are you infusing them into your children? And mothers, you cannot guarantee the salvation of children. Can't guarantee that. But you can guarantee that they know who God is. You can guarantee that they know what salvation is. You can guarantee that they know what honesty is. You can guarantee that they know what gentleness is. You can guarantee that they know what godly living is because you are living it before them. And you can guarantee that while in your home, they are going to function according to that moral ethic. That you're going to be a godly mother. Not all mothers are godly, believe that or not. And not all Christian mothers are godly Christian mothers. So the call is that you would be godly yourself. In Proverbs 29:15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." That is what's being promoted as parenting right now. Leave the child to himself. Just give a safety net. If he's running across the road, he's going to get run over. You grab him. But otherwise, you give him space to figure out who he is, because this tiny little super guy within him is going to bring out the best. All you got to do is create an environment where he is free to excel. That is being embraced by the Christian community. You know what the Bible says about the freedom to excel within a child? That he's a rebel by nature, he's a sinner by choice, and he needs the guiding discipline of a loving mother and father. He needs it. Without it, that child will bring his mother, father to shame. So godly mothers need to be involved in discipline. The rod of correction is one that is being protested by the community, Christian community, and they'll say, well, that's abuse, because the rod was a shepherd's staff, and it's a club, and they are hitting those kids. And surely you wouldn't take Proverbs to be literally meaning to inflict pain on the child. Because using the rod, that's abuse. Now, granted, Proverbs is what genre of writing? Is it historical? Is it didactic? Teaching a bunch of just factual truths? No, we call it wisdom literature. Wisdom literature is in the realm of poetry. So is there an understanding that some of the statements, that the way that they're worded, are communicating principles, and though you take it literally, you understand that it is talking about a principle rather than a literal, it's grabbing a picture rather than saying this is the exact and only way it can be done. Well, I will grant those who want to come into Proverbs and say, if you're going to biblically discipline your children, you have to get a shepherd's staff. To be a literalist, you have to get a shepherd's staff and then beat them with the shepherd's staff. Any of you moms, when you've read Proverbs, is that the way you interpret it literally? No, you would not come up with that conclusion. What you come up with is you need an instrument to educate the Board of Education, and that instrument will inflict what? A level or measure of pain. That's what you're going to get. A healthy Christian reading Proverbs, not looking to critique it and justify freedom from disciplining their children, they're going to recognize that we're not obligated to use the rod. So I looked up Shabbat. So, okay, what is the rod? Just because I don't even know why I waste my time rebutting some of this stuff. It has to be because our young people are reading this stuff and they're thinking that it sounds good. Isn't that sad? But here, the occurrences for Shabbat, 190 occurrences described as a tribe. That's not a shepherd's staff at all. It's a tribe. It's a family. An authority, a group, an identity. 140 times it's rod. 34 times it's a scepter. 10 times it's a staff. In miscellaneous, 4 times recognizes a branch or an offshoot of a club. And so we get, from the collection of the term, it is a position of authority that is exercised. A position, tribe, group, authority, scepter, the king, staff, rod, branch, all used, obviously, to exercise that authority. Now, when we see it used in the context of Proverbs, he gives us a little bit of understanding how that rod is to be used. It's the rod is representing a position of authority. Who is to hold the rod? Parents, mom and dad. Okay, if mom and dad hold the rod, the position of authority, they are to do what? They are to reprove. That's correction. That's not just teaching them what to think and what to believe. That is correction. They are to be involved in disciplining the children. Proverbs 13:24, whosoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, discipline is a term that has to be understood in its context. In this context, discipline can mean positive instruction. It can mean reproof, in fact, correction, correcting the person in an instructive way. And it can mean what? Disciplining the person for a violation of what they know is correct. Now, in the context of this verse, let's read it. Whosoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. What do you think he's talking about? You think he's talking about, just informing him of the right way? You might wish it was that. Context is pretty clear. No, this is corrective discipline. This is not instructive in the sense, it's just corrective. I read the ESV there in the King James. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastening him many times. Moms, do not grow discouraged in disciplining your kids many times. Those who have gone the course before you, remember the days when all I'm doing is spanking. I just want to love them. I just want them to not love them. And all I get to do is spank them because they're so unruly. Weather the storm. You'll get through it. They know you love. And you'll have those opportunities, but do not grow weary in well-doing. Moms, withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die.
with a rod. Surely this is poetry, and it simply means, let's go with poetry here. What else could it mean? Well, it's not the literal rod. Okay, it's not the literal rod. Okay. We're going to beat him. Make him feel really good? No, we're going to implement pain so that the child is corrected from his destructive behavior. There's no way of getting away from the scriptures. Now, can you use other alternatives to complement corporal punishment? Absolutely. Should you use other alternatives depending on what age your kid is? Listen, if you're sitting there trying to reason with your 2-year-old to try to instruct them and help them understand the ways of wisdom, he ain't getting it. But one thing he does get, I've watched it, one thing that boy will listen to. When he gets his headset and he's going to go do something, there's a, don't do that, or. When he hears the or, guess what he does? Okay, I'm sorry. Flip switch? Who did that? The kid. By his own will. What motivated him? Oh, we don't know. We're not allowed to play on our pain. 2-year-olds do not reason. You do not reason with them in principles. Now, you want to get there, and you will get there somewhere, but it's not at 2. And hopefully you'll bring reason in the process. But you know what? The Old Testament law had something else. The Old Testament law had corporal punishment for adults. What do you think of that? You could discipline an adult who was behaving in a rebellious manner with 39 lashes. You know why? Because pain works. Even with adults sometimes. You know, some of these spoiled little brats that are in our jail system, if they just got a good whack, even as an adult, well, that's inhumane. No, no it isn't. Come on, think about the millions of dollars we'd save if you could just smack them. And they say, oh, I don't want that again. I won't do that again. But no, we set them up in a 5-star hotel and say, we'll provide your food and we'll provide your clothing and we'll provide everything. And by the way, if you choose to do better when you get out, then that's okay. If you don't, you can come back here. Now, I know I'm exaggerating and I know it's not the best choice, but certainly I'm not totally against the corporal punishment for adults. But the Old Testament had it in the law. We will not have it in this country, but I see the wisdom in it. But what's the point? Not only for children did it instruct, but it instructed adults who were of full capacity and full mind. So do not be throwing out your instruction. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. How many of you have heard this? In fact, this is the only way I've heard it until I start tearing it apart myself. That's why I don't trust commentators. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The idea to train up, shanak, primary word there is to dedicate. Dedicate something for a specific purpose. Guess what you are to do, Mom? You're to dedicate your children. For what? Not to become engineers. Not to become philosophers. Not to become politicians. Not to become a rugged outdoorsman. Not to become any of that. What are you to be dedicating them to? Moms, godliness. You're to dedicate them to becoming children of the Lord who will sacrifice their everything to serve Him. That's your goal. That's your purpose. Well, yeah, but... And then, this is used, the way he should go. And it's trained this way. So that you put a taste in their mouth so that they'll desire to do the things of God. You know where that comes from? It comes from the fact that that word, the way he should go, is the mouth. The mouth. So they automatically go to, well, you're creating a bent so that he can go that way. Well, I don't take it that way at all. In fact, when I see a mouth involved in instruction, go to James, and James says, you put a bridle in the mouth of the horse to do what? To direct it. All of Proverbs is talking about the authority of the parents to instruct and direct their children. So why all of a sudden is this one just like, oh, you know, you just make him want to do it? I don't think so. I think it's moms and dads, you direct the child. That strong-willed child, you don't change your strong will. Guess what you do? You direct it properly. You are the one with the reins. So you better exercise them. And if you will, as a godly mom, God can honor and bless you and your home. Let's not pull away from godly discipline. folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. For lack of time, we're going to have to stop here, but what is the ultimate example for us? Wouldn't we want to go to God for the example of what is discipline, and does God use corporal punishment? Does God use corporal punishment? If we're going to define corporal punishment as the measured application of pain to correct behavior, does God do that? Oh, yes, He does. And Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 13 is the capsule of that. He says, listen, earthly fathers do it, but I do it. And I do it for your what? Betterment. Mothers, please, if you're going to be godly moms, you need to be embracing your role as instructor, not friend, not nurturer. All that stuff will come. That's natural. You're gifted with those bents and natural gifts, but your primary responsibility is to disciple your children to be what? Lovers of God. A dedication service. The whole idea of instruction is to dedicate your children to become lovers of God. That's your job. The others are accessories, complementary maybe, but they're not the priority. Teaching my children critical thinking skills so that they can do well in school, that's good. But it better not usurp teaching them to be godly. That is the most important. One of the things that I do not regret in giving my kids, I would encourage all of you to do the same, is not only teach your children what God says, not only teach your children what to believe, but teach them why they believe it. Not only teach your kids what to think, but how to think. But parents, you can't do it if you're not thinking yourself. You've got to be growing as godly moms. Grandmas and great-grandmas, one of our tendencies is they're not mine, they're not my responsibility, I'm just going to enjoy them. And when it comes to the instruction time, aw, I just had it happen to my house this weekend. Can't we just ignore that? Well, it was done in a cutesy way, and I know a great-grandma really didn't mean that, but she did. There was a part of her heart that really wanted that. Come on, I only get this little bit of time with them. Just, you know, no. We need to support those moms, those young families, and say, yeah, instruct them in the ways of righteousness. And when discipline's needed, good job, guys. Because the rest of the world, you know what they're saying? Don't abuse your children. They need the encouragement. We need to come alongside. We need to encourage. Moms, congratulations for the privilege. Singles who are here without biological children, you have a lot of children right here. Jump in there. Get involved in their lives. Instruct them in the ways of righteousness. Dedicate these children to the ways of the Lord. You have a high calling. Do not let people make fun of it. It's the highest calling given to women, and we need to keep a biblical priority. Lord, we thank you for this privilege we have. As mothers, help us to support our mothers in our church. They're under a lot of pressure to throw away godly instruction. And godly instruction always involves corporal punishment, the biblical measurement of pain to correct behavior. And God, we know the instrument may be different, but the inflicting of pain upon a child for corrective behavior is clear. We ask, God, you give us wisdom. Give the moms courage as they are being attacked and told that they are unfit moms for believing such an archaic book that has to be abusive. And we know it isn't. Help us to have the courage to support moms and help moms to have the courage to be biblical parents. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.